Bryan Danielson, the ROH World Champion and best wrestler in the world. You are listening to Wrestle Talk Radio.
This is Hotshot Johnny Devine.
Hey, it's me, the mouth of the South, Jimmy Hart.
This is Jerry Lynn.
Hey, you got Terry Funk here.
Hello, this is Mick Foley, and you are listening to Wrestle Talk Radio.
The evolution of online sports entertainment steps back into the squared circle to present to you Wrestle Talk Radio.
Let the main event begin!
Join us as we cover everything from old school to new school in the WWE.
This is Matt Hardy.
This is Natty Neidhart.
This is Stampede Tito Wilson.
This is Harry Smith.
TNA.
This is everyone's favorite wrestler and mine, Rob Van Dam.
I'm Mojo.
Hi, this is Christy Annie, TNA Knockout.
This is the phenomenal one, AJ Sound.
And NEC.
It's still real to me, dammit!
With your host,
are there any assholes in the building?
Tim Stein.
The head asshole in charge.
Spud.
That boy is an asshole.
Mace.
Hold the Raven. Eat my shorts.
Will.
Hey, yo.
And the Omega.
Of the whole fucking show.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
It's okay to play with yourself as long as you have an action figure.
Yeah, baby.
I came to pay the flames. There's a price to pay. Time for you to get down on your knees.
I came to pay.
Say goodbye to the good old days. They're never coming back. Watch a few more.
I came to pay.
And welcome to another edition of WTR Sunday Night Live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. We just got done with the Night of Champions. Did your favorite champion retain his or her title tonight? I know one of our hosts didn't, but we will get to that in a moment. As always, this is the be-all, end-all of the WTR Network, the Omega, leading the way into another edition of the show. And like Lita on a Sunday night, I have four gentlemen with me here. Starting with my friend, Mace.
Meh.
Meh, as always. We also have Spug.
Danielson won! Yes!
Oh, we knew that was coming. We also have Mr. Alan Wikipediajic.
I think I speak for all of us when I say Superman is finally dead.
And now a man who probably has some venting to do tonight, ladies and gentlemen, Tim Stein.
Wow. I'll tell you. Shock and awe. Just completely unbelievable. People, look, if you watch WWE, if you pay for their pay-per-views, if you watch Monday Night Raw, if you pay attention to NXT on Tuesdays, if you catch WWE Superstars, usually on Wednesdays, if you watch WWE SmackDown Friday night, what's wrong with you people? Don't you know you're not moral? You're all gonna go to hell for this.
I get accused of stealing jerks.
Yeah, I don't know about stealing any jokes. I don't think anybody's had a chance to do that before us, have they? Really?
I don't know, but you never know with this business.
Well, you know, you stop and you think about it. Now, there's going to be one or five people who's going to catch on to what I just did. And, well, for those of you who don't know, maybe we'll let you in on it, on the joke a little bit later on. But how kind of stupid is that? How kind of stupid is that where you alienate the people that actually pay to listen to you? That's all I'm going to say. That's all I'm going to say. WWE alienates people who pay to watch them. All right, enough shots. Hey, everybody, welcome back to another edition of WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. And we are going to be taking a look at the Night of Champions, the latest WWE pay-per-view offering. By the way, I don't really care if you're moral or not. I don't believe in hell, so I don't think you're going to go there. So not a problem there. I was just kidding. Oh, debauchery boy. For all. Debauchery for, hey man, hedonism. I'm all for it. In a big way.
Otherwise known as Lita's bedroom.
Yeah, hedonism. Lita's bedroom. There you go. All right. So, well, interesting pay-per-view. You know, I think it, they got it backwards. It started off too hot and it cooled off too much by the time the end of the pay-per-view was, going on. But we'll break that down. We'll get it out to you, give you our ratings and our opinions on it by the time we finish looking at the entire card for the night. Opening card happened to be the Intercontinental title match, Kofi Kingston taking on Dolph Ziggler. And the stipulation is if Dolph Ziggler gets disqualified, he loses the belt. The absolute worst thing they could have done to open up this match, they did it.
Hold on, there was a stipulation on this match?
What, you didn't know that?
No, I didn't hear anything about it.
Yeah, no, yeah, the stipulation. Yep.
Excuse me!
Excuse you?
Excuse me.
This is not the way to start off this show. It's, oh, that screeching. I hate it. Hi, Spug.
I just wanted to ruin your night a little bit. I'm better.
Yeah, well, if Rock had that clip and I didn't yell at him so often for playing it, he'd probably play the clip. He knows what I'm talking about.
But keeping on topic for a second there, Tim.
Yeah.
There was a stipulation on this match because I sure as hell didn't hear the commentators talking about it. But then again, that seemed to be a common theme throughout the night.
Yeah,
they didn't. They did it at the very beginning.
Yeah, they mentioned it twice, but it was in passing. It was like, yeah, whatever.
Yeah, there was one spot in the match where Vicky was going to slap Kofi, and they went, no. If she does that, he gets disqualified, he loses the title. I don't think, did they even mention the fact that if he also got counted out, he'd lose the title?
Well, when he was standing outside the ring and they were counting, the referee was counting up. They did mention it really quickly.
All right, like if you sneezed, folks.
Yeah. If you sneezed, you would have missed it. But yeah, no. The Vicky Guerrero coming out and screeching. You know, God love the Guerrero family. I'm so beyond fed up and sick and tired of them using Vicky Guerrero the way that they've been using Vicky Guerrero ever since they brought her in, you know. It's just verging on heartbreaking, really.
It's disappointing is what it is. It's disappointing to know that the Guerrero legacy in the WWE is going to boil down to this, because it certainly isn't going to boil down to Chavo.
Yeah, ooh, well, this is true.
Still on the roster?
Yeah, exactly. He's still there? Really? You're kidding. Yeah. But, you know, okay, get that out of the way. The match itself was absolutely fantastic. When they finally got the match going, this was definitely, definitely a match to get the crowd into it, Mace.
Yeah, pretty much. This match was a very, very solid opener. It sort of makes up for the fact that they didn't let them finish the fucking thing last month. There's no Nexus friggin' interference this time around.
Yeah, at least there's that. Alan.
I don't understand any of this. Whatever his name is, I keep wanting to call him Nick Nemeth because that's how I've known him for years. So if he had sneezed and not said "God bless you," would he have lost the championship? Because that's pretty much what it came down to. We're rehashing old school Crockett stipulations here. You know, we go to the town in the 1 week. The guy loses, and the next week the champ loses in a non-title. Then he loses by a count out. Oh, wait, oh, there's no count out thing. Now we'll lose by disqualification. Oh, they'll lose disqualification. Man, what are they going to do? Throw these guys in Hell in a Cell? Make it all a Hell in a Cell pay-per-view?
Yeah. It almost seems like it, doesn't it, there, Alan? What do you think, Spug? Did you catch the pay-per-view with your buddies down at the pub or at one of your friends' house or what?
I watched it right here on my computer.
Oh,
You bought the stream. Cool. Good for you. Good for you.
No, I really did. I actually bought it from WWE. I really did buy it.
Well, I wasn't being facetious when I said that. I'm just saying I'm proud of you for buying the legitimate feed, because we here at the Wild Talk Radio Network do not condone the piracy crap that goes on.
Nope.
So, what did you think of the match?
It was a solid opener. It really was. It was a good match. I thought that the beginning with Vicky was a little convoluted, to be quite honest with you.
Mm-hmm.
I really don't think we need her at every... And look, I get it. She's trying to feed her family, and she's trying to make sure that the Guerrero name lives on. I understand her motivations, but please, have some dignity, lady, and just go away.
Excuse me!
Yeah, there's that damn clip, and I don't ever want to hear it again.
But you know, I had no idea that Dolph Ziggler went to Kent State. No idea.
Oh, well, now you know.
And now I can't hate him as much because, well, he was an Ohio boy.
Okay. I'll remember that. Don't know why, but I'll remember that. Anybody else have any comments on this match?
That was a pretty solid opener. I mean, that's pretty much what the Intercontinental title boils down to these days, is these are the two guys that are going to get a show fired up right from the get-go.
Yeah. Yeah, so it was a good bet to put them on first. They didn't disappoint, and I'll tell you, my rating for this match was a really, really strong A-. Omega rated.
Yeah, I'd probably agree with the A-.
Okay. Mace, rated.
Again, A-.
Spug.
A-.
All right. And Alan.
B+.
B+.
Alan. Well, aren't you Debbie Downer?
Yeah, you're a harsh judge, man. You're a harsh judge. All right.
We did this at SummerSlam, and it was so, and we're going to do it in 2 weeks at Hell in a Cell. Let's search for more money.
Okay. Bonus points for the Spaceballs reference.
Yep.
Buy the shirt, buy the doll, buy the koozie.
Yeah. Moving on. Okay. Great instant heel heat promo by CM Punk, putting on a clinic as to how to get the hometown crowd to turn against you after putting over your hometown. The guy has what is rapidly disappearing in the business, and that is great skills at generating the right kind of heel heat the right way, Omega.
Yeah, I would agree with that. He knows exactly what he has to do to get under the crowd's skin, and to be able to do it in your own hometown, not only is that a skill to go against, to be able to go against the natural crowd reaction, but also kind of, you know, just personally, you know, it takes a lot more to bash on your own home than it does, you know, some podunk little town in, you know, Alabama or something.
Yeah, this is absolutely true. And yeah, again, you know, a little town in podunk Alabama or whatever isn't exactly the same kind of metropolis Chicago, Illinois happens to be. Mace, during the pay-per-view, I said in our online chat something about CM Punk employing the KISS method of drawing heel heat.
Yes, keep it simple, stupid. So yep. Keep it simple, stupid, and what the fuck's your point?
And well, what working as a heel, isn't that your favorite way of drawing heel heat?
Yeah, pretty much. The KISS method always works when you're looking to get hated, because you just find the simplest things and harp on them. And yeah. If it gets too complex, well, then people aren't gonna understand what the hell you're doing, and they just boo you because you're an idiot, which then gives you X-Pac style heat.
And that's not the kind of heat that you want to draw, isn't that right, Spug?
Nope.
Any comments on his promo?
I thought it was a great promo, and I want to say, I really do think you're wrong. I think there are a lot of guys in the business today, be it in the three main companies or on the indie level, who do know how to cut a decent heel promo and do know how to get the proper amount of heat. and unfortunately is not what fans want to see anymore.
Well, you know, you might have an interesting counterpoint there. Alan, your thoughts and opinions?
He did the job, which was a surprise. That, I mean, this is the same audience a few years ago that during Trish Stratus, Mickey James cheered for the heel of Mickey James and cheered for Triple H when he was a heel. So I honestly was hoping they would have just crapped on Phil and said, you know what, screw you, we're cheering for you, dude, whether you like it or not.
So
the funniest part of that whole thing, my daughter Abby walked into the room before my wife put her to bed. She got up in the chair and pointed at the screen and said, bald guy, bald guy. Because she remembered him from after he got the haircut done. I was like, okay, my two-year-old's marking out the punk. This is scary.
Okay, well, no, her cognitive skills are improving dramatically. That's pretty good for a two-year-old, Alan. Yeah. But getting to the match, yeah, getting to the match itself, comes the big show. The match itself. I'm sorry, guys. I didn't find this match any kind of super special, Omega.
Yeah, this is about as typical as a big show match gets. Nothing overly impressive.
I would say safe, Mace.
I call this one an Ultimate Warrior special, meaning that the match is practically over being entertaining once the bell rang.
Uh-huh. Okay. Spug.
There was no need for it, to be quite honest with you. It was a very crappy match on both accounts. It would have been good on like a pre-show card, but there's really no reason to have it on the actual main card.
Yeah, well, it just almost seemed like a throw together match. It was just about the only, you know, pretty much the only match on the card tonight that it didn't involve a title. Alan,
I gotta agree with everybody else. When this came across the wire that this was gonna be on the pay per view, it's Night of Champions, dude. No champ, no work. And instead, they threw on a match that we've seen before. But like I said, it was in Chicago, needed to get Punk a paycheck and put the big show over as, well, I'm one punch away and I'm going to go and fight the ultimate fight and get my ass kicked. Go Big Show.
Yeah, there you go. Originally,
he's Brock Lesnar's next opponent. Bring it on.
Yeah, there you go. Originally, I gave this match a B minus, but I gotta downgrade that. It's a C plus for me, Alan.
It was a D as in dumb.
D as in dumb. Spug.
I'm going to have to go with an F.
Wow.
Whoa. Give yourself a little working room here. We've still got a Divas match to get to.
Oh, wow.
I'm actually going to give that one a higher grade than that, but this one's an F.
Oh, God.
Holy cow. Well, yeah, it's because of, the Divas match with Silicon Valley Omega, and we know Spug. All right, Mace, what do you figure?
This one gets a C, otherwise known as the average meh.
Meh. Okay, so there you go. And after that, the match pretty much, I think, just about everybody.
What? C, goddammit. C.
Well, I thought you already said C.
Didn't say anything.
Well, why don't you give it a grade, Omega? Would it be safe to say you'd give it a C?
Yeah, C. Are we clear?
Okay, there we go. Now, up next is probably the match that 95% of the people who watched the pay-per-view were waiting for. And this one didn't disappoint, Mace. We're talking The Miz versus Daniel Bryan.
Yes, we are. We're talking The Miz versus Daniel Bryan, which is the match that everybody knew was going to happen, knew the outcome, yet was still shocked when it fucking happened. Which makes me wonder, are we just all thick as brick walls or something?
Either that or maybe we all let ourselves get lost in the moment and just, you know, like enjoyed it for the entertainment and the back-breaking kick-ass match that it was. How's
no,
that?
Tim. No, you're not allowed to do that. You got to remember, you're part of an internet radio show. You are not allowed to sit back and enjoy things anymore. You're supposed to critique the living shit out of it.
Oh.
Isn't that kind of what he's asking us to do right now, man?
Exactly.
We're like on the old American bandstand. I like the record. Instead, it's a 78. I can dance to it.
There you go. All right. So what's your grade on this one, Mace?
This was a solid A. Brilliant match. Loved every minute of it.
Absolutely. Spug, I know you marked your ass the fuck out.
Oh, hell yeah, I did. Hell yeah, I did.
Yeah, I know you. Tell us about the...
How sticky is your keyboard, Spug?
I think I have to buy a new laptop, to be quite honest with you.
Honestly, I would have thought you'd have several keyboard protectors, knowing you.
No. I'm telling you what, though. Every time that Brian Danielson kicked a Miz right in the mouth, I cheered.
Uh-huh.
And every time, it made me just a little bit that much happier in my pants.
You have such a delicate way of expressing things. Give it a mark. Give it a grade, man.
Oh, I'm not done. I'm not done.
Okay, keep talking.
He gets his own hour for this. Let him be.
Hold on. Okay. And then when Brian Danielson made Miz tap, like the Parma bitch that he is. Because I...
Parma. Holy cow.
I fucking hate Parma. Listen, if Parma was its own state, it would make West Virginia look like California, my friend.
There you go.
Oh, wow.
I'm telling you, Parma. When God created Ohio, he said, this state has to have an asshole. So he made Parma.
Kind of like when God was making creatures, every time he fucked it up, he kind of stuck it in Australia.
Exactly.
Yeah, nobody will notice this thing. It's a mammal with a duck's bill, whatever.
Hate Parma.
Okay, so give it a grade, dude.
On the scale of awesomeness, it was fucking awesome. I can't even give it a letter grade. A infinite pluses.
A infinite pluses from the Spud guy, Alan.
As much as Mace dislikes Mr. Anderson, I've felt the same way about Mike Mizanin for the longest time, that creatively he's never been used properly, and I will say, mark it, dude, record it, mark it zero. This is Mike Mizanin's best match in his entire WWE stay, and it's only because he had an 11-year pro like Brian Danielson carry his ass through the entire match. And I know Mace said to me, well, the heels normally call the matches. Well, that was Danielson calling that deal. And I wish, for the love of humanity, WWE would let him put catamutilation on somebody just once, instead of the crippler crossface label lock, whatever it's called. I know it was just a step back so Mizanin can eventually get Money in the Bank cashed in. And if he keeps the match that he did tonight, yeah, I don't think I'd have a problem with him eventually being world champ.
Okay, there you go. Give it a grade.
I'd give it an A. Thank you, Brian Danielson, for making Michael Cole cry like a bitch.
Sweet, okay.
I wanted to go through the computer and bitch slap him like everybody did on Tuesday night.
There you go, Omega.
You mean on Tuesday night? I've been waiting for months to kick the shit out of Cole. this was great. I mean, I don't think there's anything else to be said about this. I mean, I hope Miz took something away from this match, because that was a clinic from Brian. He did an outstanding job in this match, and yeah, it's Miz's best match in the WWE. And even though, you know, this has been brewing for months now, ever since season one of NXT, even though you knew the outcome, you wouldn't think of it. I mean, it's our own knowledge of how WWE operates that will they give someone brand new one of their titles? You know, this is technically his first major match on pay-per-view. And yeah, you drop the U.S. title to him. Even though it was the outcome that we predicted for months now, I didn't really expect them to do it in the end. So okay. Credit for WWE for finally showing some balls. And geez, what can I say? It was great work. You know, two of my favorite guys on Raw right now. I mean, and I'm fully ready to see Miz cash that Money in the Bank in.
Okay.
This was a solid A match.
Solid A from Omega. Mace.
I thought I already made my point on this one, but hey, I know I made the joke before, you know, we actually enjoyed this and how dare we as we're a part of internet radio.
Yep.
But, you know, we all got caught up in the momentum in the match itself. And yeah, everybody going, wow, they made him tap. I think I was the only one who still had in the back of their mind, yeah, it's going to happen tonight.
Mm-hmm.
But still, it was good to see it happen, and it was one of those things where it sort of came at a point where we're going, oh yeah, it's not going to happen, he's going to reach the ropes, and oh, shit, Miz taps. Yay, Danielson! Congratulations, and let's not reference the 11 years that you didn't wrestle, because it never happened in the WWE.
So it doesn't count. Yeah, Alan, you had some kind of something to say?
Well, I agree with Mace, but I'm probably going to end up saying this for the tag match and the two championship matches, with the pay-per-view looming in 2 weeks that everybody knows about because they advertised it during the show. I didn't expect a single belt to change hands tonight, because why do it here? Do it at Hell in the Cell or the end of the month with bragging rights. So to see Mizanin do it here was pretty much a shot, especially, and give them credit again, they used Alex Riley, Kevin Kiley, whatever he's called, properly, that he wasn't every 5 seconds in the match jumping in. He was used kind of like an old school heel manager. He did his job, and in the end, the place went nuts, which, you know, he wrestled there a bunch of times in Chicago for Ring of Honor, so the crowd knew who Danielson was going in.
Ring of what? I don't believe that doesn't exist.
Of course it doesn't exist. Well, it existed only when Matt Hardy was going to work there.
It's the minor leagues, Alan. Don't talk about it. It's only popular on the internet.
Yeah, it doesn't exist. Good wrestlers just come out of thin air. They don't fill up anywhere.
They're crapped out of the testosterone-filled Vincent Kennedy McMahon. Oh, God, I feel better now.
Okay, don't ever do that again.
Yes, sir.
You're horrible at making jokes. That's terrible. You suck.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Glad to be able to throw that in there. Hey, everybody, what you're hearing is our opinions. Everybody's got one, and yours are welcome. Don't forget, we've got a toll-free line, 877-588-9877, option number 3. If you want to call in and talk about the pay-per-view or anything else, if you don't want to use the toll-free line, or if you're outside of North America, just get Skype, add Sir Rockin' to your contacts, and call in that way. We'll be more than happy to take your call live on the air. We want to let you know that we don't shit on something just because it's cool. If it deserves it, then we'll let you know why we think it deserves it. Once again, they're only opinions. You're welcome to them if you don't have one of your own. And we all hope that you have one of your own.
By the way, I hope WWE takes a key from this and goes back and looks at film of that promotion that doesn't exist, that's only popular on the internet, and puts CM Punk, Danielson, and Caval, or Low-Key, or whatever the fuck you want to call him, in a ring together and just says, go have fun. Because I want to see the three of them kick the piss out of each other.
Okay. That might be kind of entertaining to watch, yeah. So, moving on to the next match, the one that nobody generally cares about because it's a bunch of silicon. Let's call it the Silicon Valley match, better known as the, the Diva Unification?
Lumberjill.
The Lumberjill Unification match. Yeah. It was Michelle McCool taking on Melina, and they dropped the ball big time with this one.
No, they didn't drop the ball. McCool dropped Melina off the top rope to the outside accidentally.
Well, yeah, they fucked that one up again. But so what I'm talking about, in the back when they were trying to decide who, which, you know, which half of the women's title holder was going to face Melina for the unification match. And they discovered that all of the slips of paper in the hat had Michelle McTaker's name on it.
That
would have been perfect for them to do something with Layla and Michelle McCool. Now, nothing happened in the match. I expected Layla to get, you know, to cause Michelle to lose just because of, you know, like, you know, typical, I'm pissed off at you for fucking me over like this, you bitch. That didn't happen. Michelle McCool unifies the belts, wins the match. Layla comes in to celebrate. I'm positive, thinking, good booking, okay, they're both being happy. Michelle's got her back, turn Layla, now's your chance. Fuck, blindside her. Didn't happen, Omega.
No, and now we get to see them parade around one with each belt instead of that stupid Wile E. Coyote cut down the center belt.
Well, at least the women's title will be, you know, soldered
glued together. Yeah.
Yeah.
So. God, this match was horrible.
Yeah. So, aside from being horrible, anything else notable?
No. It was a Divas match that was horribly booked and concepted, and they should have done something with the beautiful, not beautiful people. They should have done something with Lay Cool. Didn't.
Semi-beautiful.
Semi-beautiful. Acceptable people.
The acceptable people.
Priceless. No, this match was a total D. This match was a double D, actually.
It was a D cup. Yeah, there you go. All right, Mace.
I have no idea. I think I was only half paying attention to this. I decided to read a comic. From what I did see, typical WWE women's match. In other words, boring as batshit. No real substance to it whatsoever. And an outcome that pissed off the fans.
There
so,
you go.
Yeah, I'm going with the same as Omega, double D.
Okay, double D. Spug.
I'm giving it a C plus.
Wow.
Whoa.
The match itself, if you actually watched it, was solid. Up until the point where Michelle McCool dropped Melina on her head. This proving that Michelle McCool has no business being in a ring as a wrestler. She's only there because she's sucking off The Undertaker.
Well, don't beat around the bush. Tell us what you really think.
Now, I can't stand the bitch. I hope she catch herpes from Lita. I really do. I don't understand why they put the belt on Michelle McCool and Layla. And I do think that it's setting up, however, for something at Hell in a Cell.
Uh-huh.
Between Layla, Melina, and possibly Michelle, you know, and Michelle McCool.
Okay, and so a C plus from you.
Yes.
All right, Ellen, your thoughts.
Wow, I thought the story was interesting to have everybody hating on Michelle Calloway. I mean, McCool, and you know, anytime she went outside, I was kind of like, oh crap, they're all beating on her. And unfortunately, I was at a wrestling event Friday night, so I didn't get to see the setup on SmackDown, and was kind of like, okay, Layla's over there pouting. That's interesting. She's going to screw in this somehow. And I, as Mace pinned earlier, I need to go play some lotto numbers or something. It's so funny to have heard Maria Kanellis on the U shoot she did with Sean Oliver talk about how McCool's the one that's always in the ring and always working out and this and that, and to see her botch something like that on a pay-per-view just made me want to go to the locker room to Finley and go, your handiwork? Good. You're benched, dude. Never been a fan of Lay Cool. Never going to be a fan of Lay Cool. The match itself, I'll give it a C. The overall storyline setup is incomplete. I want to know which one of the Nickelodeon writers or soap opera people are doing this.
There you go. All right. So everybody's had their say on this one. Yeah, I'm giving it a C minus only because I'm feeling generous tonight. And that is pretty much just about the first half of the card. Everybody, we're going to take our first time out right now, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. As we go to break, I just want to let you all know, Wild Talk Radio has created a newsletter. You can sign up 100% free. We'll keep you up to date on information, show news, upcoming guests, interviews, special interviews that will only be found in the newsletter, contests for newsletter subscribers only, and a whole lot more. Just wanted to let you know about that. You can sign up pretty much on just about any page of the website. So join the newsletter. Subscribe now. You're listening to WTR Sunday Night, Russ Talk Radio, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. We'll be back right after this.
Greetings, my fellow geeks. This is Mace of Otaku Talk Live, and I have come out here today to address you as one of you. What I have done is I have created a download-only podcast for those of us who want to sit there and talk about comics, for those of us who want to sit there and just talk video games, and for those of us who just want to sit there and bash the living crap out of movies. What is this called? It's called Bashing the Books. Who are you going to hear on it? Me! You get to hear me go on and on about comic books, movies, and games. So, think of it as a mini OTL, but with more Australians. So, that's Bashing the Books, available hopefully every Wednesday or Thursday, right here on WildTalkRadio.com. I now return you to your regularly scheduled programming.
This is a public service message from your friends at the Wild Talk Radio Network. Saturday nights at midnight, the Wild Talk Radio Network presents Cigarette Butts and Bandanas, a show that has a reputation to sometimes take things a little too far with their use of vulgar language and explicit content. We here at the Wild Talk Radio Network are here to tell you that we will not stand for this any longer. We are going to make sure that Cigarette Butts and Bandanas cleans up its act. There will no longer be any use of vulgar language. There will be no more explicit content, and no one will be offended when they tune in to Cigarette Butts and Bandanas. Saturday nights, midnight Eastern, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Thank you for your support, and continue to listen to the new and improved Cigarette Butts.
Screw that. Join us Saturday nights, where we will take things to the extreme, the only way we know how, with the no-limits and uncensored nature of the one and only Cigarette Butts and Bandanas, only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Want to stay involved and updated with the Wild Talk Radio Network? Well, it's simple. Just sign up for the official WTR newsletter. That's right, the WTR newsletter. The only place to keep up to date on the goings-on in the land of WTR. From show previews, interviews with the hosts, and special contests just for those who sign up. Subscribe now to the WTR newsletter. Sign up for the newsletter or you're dead.
The old school style.
In case you missed it, this is what happens when you tune in to Online World of Wrestling Radio.
Mrs. Carino is on Online World of Wrestling Radio?
She sure is.
Oh my God, this is awesome! So, Mom, you got any questions for your son? That you want to air some funny stories about him?
Oh, there's so many stories I could tell you that it's just... It would take hours.
Are they going to make steam turn blue? I don't want steam turn blue.
I have a question for Mrs. Carino.
Okay.
I have a picture of me when I was about 4 years old in a pair of yellow rain boots, yellow underwear, and a bandana doing the Hulk pose. Is it a photo album somewhere? Do you have any embarrassing photos of Steve that you can tell us about?
Nope. Well, it's not so much embarrassing, but there was a contest one time.
Liar.
And it seemed that him and his buddy dressed up like the Rock and Roll Express. Well, they didn't win the contest, but years later, I ran into Ricky Moore. He was going to be at this show, so I took the picture with me. He just about died. Sorry.
By the way.
Remember to tune in to Online World of Wrestling Radio, 9 p.m. Eastern Tuesdays on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Hi, everybody. This is good old J.R. Jim Ross, WWE Hall of Famer.
Business is about to pick up here.
And you're tuned in to the Wild Talk Radio Network.
It's going to be a slumber knocker.
Welcome back to the Wild Talk Radio Network, right in the middle of taking a look at Night of Champions, WWE's latest pay-per-view right here on Wrest Talk Radio WTR Sunday night. And we have taken a quick look at first four matches of the night. It was the IC title match with Dolph Ziggler retaining. Then CM Punk taking on the Big Show. Big Show wins with a knockout punch. And then The Miz facing down Bryan Danielson, Miz tapping out the new U.S. champion, Daniel Bryan. I mean, take your pick. What the hell's his name? And then, of course, the last one we take a look at before the break was the Diva Unification match with Michelle McCool defeating Melina to unify the women's belts. Up next, guys.
Hey, Tim. Huh?
Yes, Bug.
That newsletter that you've been pimping? I predict is going to have as many subscribers as Mav's show has listeners.
Well, first off, you're an idiot. Secondly, we've got about 500 times as many subscribers already as Mav will ever have listeners.
Okay, so we've got five sign-ups.
500 people will not fucking ever subscribe to that newsletter.
Anyway, moving on, taking a look at the next match, Kane versus Undertaker for the world title. Mace, I don't know. This matchup just seems kind of tired to me.
Which matchup was this again, Tim?
Kane versus Undertaker.
Yeah, the one that I decided to go make lunch.
Yeah.
Yeah, this was Mace goes make lunch match. I really didn't buy it, really didn't want to buy it, so meh. It's about all I can say about it because I didn't really watch it, and I'm not going to comment on something that I didn't really watch.
Oh, okay. Omega.
I don't know. It's the I've seen Kane and Undertaker so many times already, and it just didn't really interest me at all. I think the only interesting thing about the match was the fact that Kane pretty much dominated the entire time. And I know that's been the theme, but when you're wrestling the Undertaker, even if you have to have the advantage, it's still, you know, it's still in the back of your head that no, Taker's going to turn this around, tombstone, pin, done. Taker wins again. That didn't happen. And, you know, by the time Kane hit the tombstone and got the three count completely clean, I kind of had to scratch my head and wonder if that really happened.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, for a Kane and Undertaker match, I mean, it's okay. You know, fine. But the way, the fact that it went down that way did kind of catch me off guard a little bit.
Just the tiniest little bit, huh?
Just a little.
Yeah. So, give it a grade.
Hard to press. C minus.
A C minus. Oh, okay. Alan.
Well, this isn't Ricky Steamboat, Ric Flair. This isn't going to be, you know, they kicked ass in the late 70s, early 80s. They took some time off, came back in 89, and then, oh, wow, awesome ass feud. This one's been going since 97. It was Bad Blood 97. Which, unfortunately, I'll always remember as the night we found out Brian Pillman had passed away more than the pay-per-view. And they were they hate each other. Wait, we love each other. We're really brothers. Oh, wait, we're not brothers. We're not brothers. Now we're back to being brothers again. And this was another one. Hell in a Cell is 2 weeks away, and that used to be before Spugs' man, Triple H, claimed it as his own. Hell in a Cell was Taker's bad boy match, like what he did with Brock Lesnar a few years ago. So, I kind of buy this whole thing with Taker not having the power as he used to, and Kane taking it away. I thought that maybe a hint to Paul Bearer, Percy Pringle, whatever his name is, would give up doing the NWA TV show and come back here. I don't know. Once again, we'll see this in 2 weeks at the pay-per-view, so I'll give it a B minus, possibly C plus.
Alan, if they were going to try and get Paul Bearer or Percy or whatever, they'd have to get him out of a solid concrete block, dude. If you remember last time, he was put into a shit ton of cement.
I thought he made an appearance recently on stuff, didn't he? I thought he made a recent TV appearance for WWE.
Not that I can remember.
Okay, so it was a Great American Bash whenever that they put him in the block.
Yeah, something like that. I think it was 2-3 years ago.
That was more than 2 or 3 years ago. That was more like closer to 5 years almost.
Try 6.
Yeah, well, that's closer to 5 than 2. But that was the thing that they actually did before the pay-per-view during the day. And the video footage as they were sending it back to the headquarters to get all edited in was somehow intercepted, quote-unquote, intercepted and leaked onto the Internet.
Well, I found it funny that during all that stuff, they actually showed Kane chokes.
All of a sudden, everything just died. Did you stop talking, Alan, or did we lose you? Did you drop out?
Yeah.
We kind of sort of lost you.
Right,
yeah, we lost you right in mid-statement there.
No, figures. I'm on the mini laptop. But yeah, I thought if my point didn't come across, I thought it was funny during the whole pre-show package that they took all the way back to 97. At one point, you saw Kane on Monday Night Raw chokeslamming some guy named Eric Bischoff off a thing. I'm like, hey, wait, you can't show him. He works somewhere else that we don't acknowledge.
So, what would you, did you grade this thing? Yeah, you did. You said,
B minus, borderline C plus.
Borderline C plus. So I give it a C plus. I don't know. After these two having feuded, when they did as much as they did for as long as they did, it's just, this just felt tired to me. Even though Omega, you had a great point. You kept expecting Undertaker to, you know, rise up and, you know, to, overcome the odds and win. But that didn't happen. Sort of a bit of a twist with Kane coming out victorious. This whole match for me, that was a C+.
I do like that twist, but it's just, you know, if it hadn't been a match we've seen for years now, I would have given it a little bit higher.
Yeah. Well, the next match on the card, Tag Team Turmoil match.
Oh, boy.
Hey!
What?
What? I give it a B, by the way.
Oh, okay.
That's twice
Jesus
now.
Christ. Jesus Christ, old man. Take your Alzheimer's medication.
Well, no, it was my, it was your turn to be, it was your turn to be skipped, so. Okay, Spud.
Alan, watch out.
Yeah, there you go. Alan,
yeah,
you're next.
It's coming.
Yeah, Alan, you're next. So, Spud, break down the match and, give us your thoughts.
I thought it was a really solid match. I give it a B. Unfortunately, though, over the last 13 years, with the back and the forth and Undertaker leaving for a while and Kane pretty much being relegated to irrelevancy in the WWE, it just feels like nobody cares anymore.
Yeah.
You know? And it's sad because it's actually a really good feud that goes back a while that has just kind of been put on the back burner because nobody cares.
That being said, you give it a B.
Yes.
Why'd you give it a B if it's such a tired feud?
I said I enjoyed the feud, and I thought the match was solid, therefore it gets a B.
Yeah.
Pay attention. Clean the wax out of your ears, Grandpa.
The match was, you know, pretty safe for the most part. Nothing that we've come to expect from Undertaker matches, really, when you stop and you think about it, mainly because, you know, Undertaker didn't really get a chance to mount much of any kind of an offense at all. But the match, I gave it a C+. And I was probably a little harder on this match than I normally would be, except it came right after the Divas match, and that just kind of sort of, like, you know, threw a wrench into the entire thing, that Divas match. So my grade C+ for Kane Taker might be a little bit biased because of it. But next match on the card, Tag Team Turmoil match. Omega.
Wow, this match had such a good build up. I mean, I don't know what I was going to think of it, but I hate Tag Team Turmoil. I hate any turmoil match. Because the champion always starts, and the champion is pretty much guaranteed to lose.
Yep.
Almost guaranteed every time, because if they don't lose, you've just buried an entire division. Which, you know, that's just horribly stupid. You know, if they decided this by lottery, if the tag champions had a chance of coming in, you know, fourth or fifth and actually had a decent shot,
yeah,
I would buy this concept a lot more. But as it is, you pretty much know the fourth or fifth team are always going to be the ones to win. You know,
uh-huh,
just because logically they're fresh. You know, there isn't much surprise here. The match itself, that's the other thing I don't like about this match. You have the team switching up so much. It's hard to really get anything going. And it's hard to get into a flow with the different wrestlers going in and out all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was okay for what it was, but for the tag team championships, the unified tag team champions with the Hart Dynasty involved, I expected so much better. And this was not it. I mean, this was a C- match, if only because the concept is just so flawed and it was so horribly booked.
Okay. So, what was your rating on that? C-?
C-.
There you go. Mace.
Alright, just quickly, I called it. From the get-go, I said that this was either going to put the hearts over huge or give it to a crappy tag team that we don't care about. In the end, we have Drew McIntyre and dashing Cody Rhodes as the champions, with Cody getting the pin. So I got 3 out of 4 predictions right. But This type of match, yeah, you can almost guarantee the champs aren't going to win it, especially if they're the first team there. Yeah. Very unfortunate to see the Hart Dynasty lose the belt, even though that they didn't really get much of a run with them. So, yeah, it's a big pain there. I'm giving the match itself a C-, and just because I'm about to run out the door, I've actually got a big appointment I've got to get to. Main event, Cena's gone, yay. Too bad that my pick, the jar of mayonnaise, didn't win, and good luck to Randy Orton, he's going to need it.
Okay, there you go.
And that match gets a B.
There you are, perfect. Okay, thanks, Mace. Have fun with your appointment. Spug!
Wow, you didn't forget about me this time. Hooray.
No, nope, I told you it was Alan's turn next time.
Right. Thank God they took it off the Canadians. Now we don't have to hear, Tim jizz all over himself every week about it. Unfortunately, they didn't put it on a deserving tag team like Santino and Kozlov, because how great would that have been to have those two as tag team champions? And three, who gives a fuck about McIntyre and Cody Rhodes? I sure as hell don't. So it gets an F just for that.
Another F from Spud. Yeah, okay, so the Hart Dynasty lose the belts. It was bound to happen sooner or later. They could have done it in a much better match than this tag team turmoil bullshit where all the other teams were pretty much thrown together, more or less.
Yeah, how do you feel in the how do you feel when, like, if you're the Dude Busters or the Gate Crashers right now, when you don't even matter enough to put into this, we'd rather pick normal, just random wrestlers, throw them together.
Yeah. So, I don't know. This particular match itself, I give it a nice, strong, solid C+. And moving on to the main event. No, wait a second. We do have to hear from Alan.
We do?
Well, go ahead.
Well, you guys have said it all best. I mean, build up what build up? And I had made the statement in our private chat when we were watching it on an individual basis that you guys were joking around. And we were like, do they really have five teams to do this with? And that's when I said, yeah, you got Vance Archer is not Lance Hoyt anymore. Yeah. Hoyt and Curt Hawkins, and you've got Beretta and Kalen Croft, the Dude Busters, you have the Uzos, you could have holy crapped everybody out and brought up Los Aviadors, who are the FCW tag team champions who, work under masks, but you know, can't do that because you know, only one mask guy on this company allowed, and he's pilled up on painkillers for his knees. But I thought, MVP that's right, MVP's on SmackDown, jobbing at Jake Hager right now, and I would have liked to have seen the Harts lose it in the final thing with Drew and Cody. And for me, it's kind of weird, but when I see McIntyre, I immediately go, see now, if you had put him with Nigel McGuinness instead of Brutus Magnus, that's a tag team. This match is an F. They bungled as was outlined by the other panel members. The Hart Dynasty was never given a true shot to be the world tag team champions. And thank you, WWE Creative, for that.
Yeah, well, there you go. Okay. So a couple of really harsh grades on that match. Like I said, it was solid C+. I mean, the guys in the ring, didn't do a bad job. It's just, I'm disappointed by the booking. Like you said, Hart Dynasty, why couldn't they have, okay, if they're gonna drop the titles, fine. Let them make a good show and hold it until the end. So, but,
it was better that they dropped it first.
Oh, that's cause you don't like them cause they're Canadian, so it doesn't matter what you say.
They're worthless!
To get them out of the way before the car wreck actually begins.
Yeah, there you go. And once again, everybody, these are our opinions. As you can tell, they're extremely varied from each other. And we don't expect you to agree with us because we don't want you to be sheep. We know that you have minds of your own, and chances are 99.8765% of you
are able to think and speak for yourselves, and we want to give you the chance to do that. Don't forget, we have a toll-free number if you want to call in and give us your opinions and your views on the pay-per-view, 877-588-9877, option 3 tonight to get to Russ Talk Radio, or Skype to Skype, just add Sir Rockin' to your Skype client, call in and say hi, and tell us why you think we're full of shit. That being said, time to look at tonight's main event, the six-pack challenge for WWE Championship. Now, the winner ultimately winds up being Randy Orton. Chris Jericho is out first, the extremely fast. The next one eliminated was Edge. Then NXT interferes long enough for John Cena to be eliminated. Then Wade Barrett gets eliminated, leaving Orton with the Jar of Mayonnaise. And Orton defeats the Jar of Mayonnaise to capture the WWE Championship and win the match. Omega.
Can we, since it happened so early in the match, can we just, like, touch on what the fuck happened with when Jericho got pinned?
Yeah, well, hey, you know, talk about whatever part of the match you want to talk about. Talk about all the whole...
Well, I don't know, we were trying to go back and forth trying to figure out, did they mention that, well, the stipulation of Jericho, if Jericho loses, he leaves, is that still on or not? And half, you know, we couldn't figure out, it said, still on, still, or still not, or, and I don't remember hearing the commentators bring it up. You know, and some people said it was, some people said, nobody knew what the fuck was going on here.
Yep.
Kind of, I mean, Jericho, yeah, just the way Jericho walks out, you think, yeah, it was still on. Okay, this is him leaving. But the commentators, the commentators were more interested in talking about, well, what does this pause do to the match? Who the fuck cares? He might be retiring tonight. We might never see him again.
That's exactly what they were supposed to, or expected, I suppose, to have brought up, seeing as Jericho has been talking ever since the six-man challenge was announced for Night of Champions, that if he doesn't win the WWE title, he quits, right?
Yeah. But this is Michael Cole and Matt Stryker. I mean, you couldn't get a brain cell in their heads if they blew Albert Einstein.
Yeah.
These two are, I so hope they bring back this Danielson feud with Cole just so he can beat the shit out of him.
No, just break his jaw long enough to keep him off TV for 6 weeks.
Absolutely. Break it accidentally. Or, you know, choke him out with his own tie. I like that.
There you go. He'll get fired again and have to work the indies.
The match.
Go back to his war correspondent gig.
Yeah, there you go. Final thoughts, Omega.
The match itself was okay. Taking Cena out of it before the final pinfall was brilliant. He actually put a little bit of suspense into the match that way. And, I don't know, I was actually rooting for Stay Puft, but you know what? We're going to try this Orton face champion thing again. You know, he's the hot thing right now. So be it. Let's see if he can do it better than he did last time.
There you go. All right, Alan.
Unless it's an ROH, that's right, I can't mention those guys because nobody matters here. And I've seen these kind of matches in person at indie shows, and usually don't go well. I gotta admit, the opening part of this match, I had the audio muted down because I was going, holy crap, the New York Giants are getting murdered on national television. And came back, and next thing I know, I sat there and I was like, holy crap, Jericho got beat. And only from watching the Rise and Fall of ECW DVD, it reminded me, for Omega and Spug, it reminded me of the night that Taz lost to, I think it was Awesome and Tanaka were in the match, and they double pinned him, and all of a sudden the whole locker room emptied out. I was like, holy crap. I kind of expected the WWE locker room to come out for a second there and go, thanks, Jericho, we'll see you later. And it was like, wow, to all of a sudden have a, I understand you're trying to kill pay-per-view time, but that much time that the five guys in the ring are just standing there going, looking at the, almost, because everybody knows the refs wear an earpiece. It almost looked like the five of them were going, so how long do we got to stand here if we can get back to this? Very surprised that Superman, Marky Mark, and minus his Funky Bunch felt the vibration and went down. Stunned, completely stunned. I honestly expected Cena to walk out again for the 88th time as champ. I gotta agree with Omega. It'll be interesting to see how Randy Orton version 2 is handled.
Yeah.
And, Wade Barrett, if anybody that despises Wade Barrett, I felt that he held his own very well in this match. And, yep. I hopefully we get some good feuds out of this match.
There you go. So give it a grade, dude.
I'll give it a B+.
All right, Spug.
Yes.
Talk about the main event, Dick.
It was a good match. I have, for one, I believe I called it a week ago and said that Randy Orton was going to win the title out of this. I thought it was his time. I want to see Barrett and Randy Orton feud. I really do. For some odd reason, of all the Nexus people, I really like Wade Barrett. And part of it's because he's got an English accent, a British accent, therefore you're an instant heel in America, and it's just awesome. But I was glad to see that Beaker lost. I was glad to see Superman go out fairly quickly. And quite honestly, I could care less if Jericho retires. He's been fairly irrelevant for the past 6 months.
Oh, my God. Just about the best worker in WWE. The go-to guy to get somebody on the roster over that WWE wants to push, and you're calling him irrelevant?
He's made himself that way because he's been talking about, I'm going to go do my ABC TV show, and I'm going to do Fozzie, but wait, I'm gonna go. I turned down Dancing with the Stars because it would conflict with my schedule. So,
right. See, I mean, Alan's got my back.
But But in the same line, I go with Tim was saying too. He's had really great matches with Evan Bourne, and he had some good stuff with the Nexus Cats and everything else.
If your heart's
not in it, as supposed to, if your heart's not in it, you know, why be here? Let him be a guest spot, show up type guy. Let him go do your Fozzie thing again. Publish your second book. At least stick around till your DVD comes out, now available on WWEvideo.com. But you got a caller, dude. I'm going to shut up now so he can talk.
Well, the thing is, you know, it's my turn to give it a grade and stuff like that. I haven't given it
a grade, asshole.
Well, give it a grade, dipshit.
I give it a B+.
A B+, there you go. Amazingly enough, your grade and my grade coincide. Good match. Couple of things that kind of sort of dropped it for me. You brought it up. Wade Barrett proved that he can hold his own. We did not need NXT coming out.
No.
We did not need the rest of those fuckers showing up and causing just enough shit to get Cena eliminated. I mean, please, okay? So Cena Superman, so the fuck what? Congratulations, good on ya. There's no reason why your new heel can't be made to look like legit by eliminating him himself.
Yeah, I would have liked to have seen that being a clean deal. It's like enough with the Vince Russo type thing where everybody's got to empty out and heaven forbid a heel actually go over clean.
Yeah. Now this is the only reason why this match does not get an A from me. It's a B+, and it's because the interference was not needed. Yeah, sure, it was a great mark out experience moment for Cena to grab the folding chair and crank on almost every single member of NXT when they're setting up around the apron. That fine, sure, okay. So have NXT come out after Cena's eliminated, or just have them standing around and not getting involved and not interfering and not causing Cena to be eliminated, and then afterwards have one of them push Cena down or have a little scuffle outside the ring on the mat, and then Cena grabs the chair and lays them all out. That would have kept the letter grade an A, as far as I'm concerned. But there it is, a B plus for the main event. Now, taking a look at the thing, I have to say overall, the overall pay-per-view, B minus, Omega.
I'd give this one a B. There were some really sour moments in there, but when they actually, when they were actually trying, they did some really good stuff with this pay-per-view.
Okay, there you go. B. Spug.
I give it a B as well.
Okay. Alan.
I'll give it a B minus because of the girls match. The show just lost it a bit, and enough of Taker and Kane. Just end it, please. Pretty
there
please. I'll give you a dollar to WWE. End it, please.
Yeah, I'll buy that for a dollar. There you go. Two Bs and two B minuses from the panel. That means, in our opinion, that the pay-per-view was definitely worth purchasing tonight. Not only that, it also means if you didn't see it and you were thinking about buying the replay, yeah, get the replay. There's enough in here that you're going to feel like you got your money's worth. So, there it is. Night of Champions review in the books. We got a caller. Let's go to the caller. Hey, who is this? Where are you calling from?
It's Craig, and it's your man, Clinton. Mr. Young Navigator Productions himself, Bowman, from Brooklyn, New York. What's going on?
Oh, man, it's the New York Mac. No, I'm just kidding. How you do, CJ?
I'm doing good. I just saw a Certified A pay-per-view tonight.
Certified, oh, you did?
Certified A.
All right. Well, break it down for us. Tell us why the thing's an A.
Now, let's start with the Intercontinental Championship match. First match on the card. The action was hot. I mean, the match, like, you didn't expect, honestly, you expected to go in having a not so hot card at all.
Yeah.
A not so hot match to start out. But dude, the match was hot. I mean, you knew the stipulation. You knew what was going to happen if, you know, he got disqualified. I said Drew, right? If
yeah.
Dolph, see, freaking D's, I'm going to just call him Nick Nemeth. Freaking Nick Nemeth got disqualified or counted out. You knew it would happen, and you had those things almost happen, like, two different times. You know? You had those things happen almost two different times. The match was paced well. Kofi actually worked as hot as he worked, like, on Friday night. Like,
yeah.
Those two matches in, I believe, Kofi's career were, like, literally his two best matches of his career. You know, it shows that he can work a slow, methodical match.
Yeah, well, I'll disagree match. With you on that one. I think
even,
that is
not even a slow match. He can work like a regularly paced match.
Yeah, but as far as matches of his career, I'll disagree with you on that one. I say the matches he had with Orton were career matches for Kofi. But continue.
No, I mean two of you know. I obviously think Orton is, his matches with Orton were freaking gold, especially the one in Madison Square Garden that happened on my birthday. That I didn't happen to go, and I was pissed. That made me sad. It happened on my birthday at Madison Square Garden. I'm sitting on there like, I wanted to go to that. But nonetheless, we go to the next match, a short match for what it was, Big Show versus Punk. You knew they were going to blow off this feud because the feud lost its sizzle after Serena got released. Once Serena got released, the Straight Edge Society fell into shit. Started falling into shit, and you know the feud got really, really, you know, railroaded right there. So the match was short, but the match was good. It was pretty good. Punk was over in Chicago as a hometown hero, no matter what he said.
Uh-huh.
You know, that added to the kind of the suspense of the match. You kind of expected in the back of your mind, you knew Big Show probably would go over, but you're thinking there's a possibility that Punk can go over in his hometown.
Yeah.
You know, like, the ending was perfect. The ending was perfect, just like the knockout punch, just to end the match after back and forth striking and shit. It was pretty good. It was pretty good. Then we go to the third match. I'm trying to remember what the third match was. Wasn't that the U.S. Championship match?
The third match of the night was, it was Miz versus Danielson. Bryan.
Yo, Miz tapped like Savion Glover in that match, dude.
Yeah.
Like, he was tapping like Gregory Hines.
Yeah.
Yeah, but honestly, I have to say, I marked out for that whole goddamn match.
Yeah, well, pretty much we all did unanimously.
Yeah. Like,
yeah.
Even with the Alex Riley interference, you know, that match, that didn't even hurt the match once.
That actually helped the match, I think.
Yeah, because yeah. You sit down there like Danielson, his arm is fucked. You know, yeah. He ducks out the way. He straight ducks out the way, and then boom, all of a sudden, you see the LaBelle lock get locked in. I mean, to be honest, Danielson, we have to honestly sit down and say, right now, you know, he is a, without the Canadian part, he's basically, yeah, I'm trying to get this out of my mind. It's like he's friggin' Chris Benoit, who in fact was the Dynamite Kid, you know, but nonetheless, was a rehash of that. But you know, it's a good match nonetheless. We go to the Divas match, which I personally thought, mind me being a fan of women's wrestling, but I actually thought that match was good because it was the exact same match from the previous year, just with the addition of the stipulation. And the addition of the fact that Layla was in the match. Layla was involved.
It probably would have been a good match if it was Layla wrestling. I'm sorry, Michelle McCool does not belong in that ring.
No, Michelle McCool is perfectly capable of handling herself. She's done it well.
Obviously not. She dropped Melina on her fucking head.
She botched, man. That was a botch off the corner. Didn't you see that?
I saw that. But besides that botch, that one botch, besides that, the whole match was good. It was not bad. There was nothing bad you can really say about that match at all.
When we watched it, dude. Did you watch the same match all of us did?
We
all took our own heads and smashed it into a chair watching that match.
Dude, that one botch could have ended Melina's career.
Yes, and I understand that was unfortunate. That was really unfortunate. I cringed when I saw that.
Unfortunate? That chick doesn't belong anywhere near a ring.
Bullshit. Because if you look at her past feud and you look at her past matches, you know, the matches were pretty much superb.
I can name eight women off the top of my head that don't have WWE deals that could out-wrestle, have better charisma than Mrs. Calloway does, pal.
Me too, Alan. Me too.
Dude, I'd take Mickey and
I'd interview
one of them.
Idiot.
And I personally interviewed one of them.
I would take Mickey Moose Knuckles over Michelle McCool.
Mickey Moose Knuckles.
Don't call her Moose Knuckles. That's just not attractive.
That's her name. Moose Knuckles.
Fuck TNA. I'm sorry.
But anyway, yeah, you're going to get argument and dissension, and it's just each one of us, you know, defending our own opinion. We're not saying your opinion is any more right or wrong than ours.
I'm not saying that either. You know, but let's go from there anyway. You got the World Heavyweight Championship match. That match was a straight out brawl out of the Attitude Era. I'd have to say it. I'm sorry. It was a brawl. It wasn't a wrestling match. It was a fight. You know, it took like 15, 16 minutes to get into the ring. And when it got into the ring, it was just basically a freaking fist fight from then and there with Kane getting the win off the reversal. You can tell that they're blowing this feud off at Hell in a Cell, but it's the hottest program that WWE has right now. The single hottest program they have right now. You know, like maybe it doesn't have the same sting as it would, you know, if it was at WrestleMania. But it's a very hot program. We go to the tag team turmoil match. The Hart Dynasty. You know, no offense to anybody who is a fan of the Hart Dynasty. They got the collective charisma of a brick. And, you know, they held those titles and did nothing with them. Did nothing. And they have the Usos take them out in their second match on pay-per-view, which they looked a hell of a lot better than the Hart Dynasty. You obviously knew that they were just looking for a reason to take the belts off the Dynasty. They took the belts off the Dynasty and they gave it to a very hot young team in Cody Rhodes and Drew McIntyre while setting up a feud with Evan Bourne and the Kool-Aid Man.
Dude, they're not tag team wrestlers.
And WWE's totally proven they do not care about tag team wrestling, hence you put the belts on the Hart Dynasty, and then you leave guys like the Dude Busters, Gatecrashers, whatever you want to call them. I'm watching TNA, and I'm going, wow, this is tag team wrestling. I love this. Where'd WWE go with it?
Dude, even TNA's tag team wrestling is fucking going to shit. Let's be honest.
So that best of five that I watched with the Motor City Machine Guns and Beer Money was crap.
No,
wow. I'm going to go watch the end of this baseball game that's on ESPN, and when this guy's not on the show, I'll be back.
Yo, listen, my dude. Listen, I never said it was crap. Dude, I fucking praise that fucking best of five series. Dude, I was one of the first ones to praise that shit. You know? But I'm just saying, right now, where the hell is their tag team division right now?
It's still better than WWE's, at least when they have tag team tournaments and tag team matches. They include tag teams, not singles competitors thrown together.
Yeah, but, yo, what's wrong with Drew McIntyre and Cody Rhodes?
Because they're not a tag team, you fucking moron!
Fuck you! They can fucking get built into a tag team. Look at fucking Miz and Jericho. Miz and Big Show. Look at Jericho and Big Show. Look at Edge and Jericho. Huh? Think about that one.
Dude, they're not a tag team.
It doesn't fucking matter!
Singles wrestlers who don't belong anywhere near the tag team turmoil match when you have actual tag teams sitting on the sideline.
Who the fuck was a three-time tag team champion? Fucking Cody Rhodes and shit.
And he was a member of a tag team called Legacy. Remember that? That was an actual tag team.
But look who's on top now. Look who's on top now. You had an actual tag team in the Miz and Morrison who were what? Two wrestlers put together.
And they were built, and when they were built into an actual tag team, Morrison was coming off of his stint in M&M, which was an actual tag team, and put him together with the Miz.
Okay, I'll tell you what, guys, what we'll do is we'll set aside time to actually get into the great tag team debate. I think this might be an interesting thing to do, set aside one show and talk about the state of tag teams in TNA and WWE. But we got to get moving on here. We got to take a break. So we got to get you to wrap it up really quickly CJ.
I'll just go and finish with the World Championship match, the WWE Championship match.
Yeah, man.
I mean, personally, I liked the match. I loved it. I loved the way it was booked. I loved the fact that the Nexus came in and interfered and caused Cena to lose. That way you're setting up a feud between, you basically, I believe, set up two feuds in that one small match. You basically set up Sheamus versus Randy Orton and Cena versus Barrett. You're basically working it out. Like, obviously they're gonna blow, I know for a fact that they're gonna blow off the Nexus storyline at fucking Bragging Rights. That's as much as I can say. But overall, the pay-per-view was exceptional. I thought it was an A. I thought it was a solid A. I thought it was the best pay-per-view of the year. One of the best.
Wow. All right. Well, CJ, we gotta, you know, I gotta thank you for calling in, but we gotta get to break because we're running.
That's so good. It's so good. Don't worry about it, man.
Yeah. Appreciate the call in. keep listening. We got more coming up. Everybody, you are listening to Russ Talk Radio WTR Sunday night right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Don't go anywhere. We got more WTR Roundtable, Matt Hardy News, and, of course, Quick Hits and The Great Debate are all coming your way on the other side of this quick timeout.
Well, I took a walk around the world to ease my troubled mind. I left my body lying somewhere in the sands of time. But I watched the world go to the dark side of the moon. I feel there's nothing I can do. Yeah. I watched the world go to the dark side of the moon. After all I knew, it had to be something to do with you. I really don't mind what happens now and then, as long as you'll be I'm alive and well, will you be there to hold me?
Thursday night, the Wild Talk Radio Network becomes a place where anything goes. Prepare to be sinful. Thursdays, 10:30 p.m. Eastern. On the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Quick message going to all the geeks out there. If you want to listen to three guys talk your language, tune in to Otaku Talk Live, Wednesday nights, 9 p.m. Eastern, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. What? You expect me to be funny? We do that on the show. So tune in. Listen. I demand it.
And now, a message to our competitors.
Thanks
for tuning us in.
Do you have a certain passion? Maybe you're a geek, a wrestling fan, a sex enthusiast, or you just need something to do for the evening. Then come check out the Wild Talk Radio Network, providing you with the latest in online entertainment. Whether it's getting in the ring with Wrestle Talk Radio, or getting a little R-rated with CB Radio or Anything Goes, or whether you just want to play a game of Dungeons & Dragons with the geeks over to Otaku Talk Live, all you got to do is head on over to www.wildtalkradio.com and check out all of our daily programming. Wild Talk Radio Network. Come and get wild with us.
You know, the more things change, the more things stay the same. For as long as the internet wrestling community has been around, there have been people and internet radio shows that will bitch and complain about every little thing they see. Well, the crew over at WrestleTalk Radio are trying to change that by highlighting the positives of each and every WWE and TNA event. These wrestlers put their body on the line to entertain us each and every week. So how about we praise them instead of bitching about the little things that get to us? So with that in mind, you should come listen to WrestleTalk Radio, Sunday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern, or right after any WWE or TNA pay-per-view, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Because this is how we say thank you to those that entertain us.
This is Lacey Von Erich. You're listening to The Network, Tim Steinbilt, Wild Talk Radio.
Welcome back to WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network, coming into Matt Hardy's intro music. What is going on with Matt Hardy? He's been making some interesting comments on his Twitter page, mainly relating to dirt sheet internet reports saying that he got sent home from a wrestling show over in Europe. And he goes and posts a video blog about, oh, I'm still in Europe, dude. I'm still here, all of you. And he starts actually pointing out Alan, what was it, the Pro Wrestling Torch?
I think he went off on Torch, yeah. That something about, it was the same, around the same time that Mike Shaw, Bastion Booger, Norman Lunatic passed away, and he's actually on, I think it was on WrestlingDatabase.com, had it on screen going, hey, look at that. Oh, I'm ahead of somebody passing away. I'm like, okay.
Mm-hmm. So, Omega, have you
weird,
been following
man,
any of these?
Weird.
I have seen what has been going down, yes.
Yeah. What do you make of all of everything? Did you see the video blog he put up?
Yeah, I did.
Did he look like he was fully in possession of all of his faculties to you?
I'm not quite sure because I don't generally get to see Matt Hardy fully in control of his faculties. But to get the idea of I'm going to ruin my career by recording this video and coming off kind of douchebaggish by posting this online, I don't think he was completely in his right mind.
Uh-huh. What do you think about this whole situation, Spug? Spug?
He's off doing his own video.
Oh, he's got to unmute Mike, that's all.
No, my silence is proving a point. That's what I think about the Matt Hardy thing.
Oh, okay. So you don't really care, you're not following
it? I could give two shits less.
Okay.
It's just so weird. I mean, this goes back to a conversation I had at Wrestling for a Cause where it was a very old-school type show. At one point, L. Ron Bass was a part of the show, and I'm sitting there watching the show with a couple other people, and the Matt Hardy thing actually came up, and we said, you know, 15 years ago, this would never have made it out. Go back to 96, just even then, this wouldn't be anywhere. Because there is no Twitter, there is no Facebook, there is no MySpace. Yeah, the sheets are around, but, you know, you also have to take into effect, this is the era of there is no 24-hour news cycle. It's a 24-second news cycle. We're the same society that Michael Phelps got busted with a bong at a party because some dude had a cell phone there. Tiger Woods and the crash in Orlando. So, I mean, he signed his own warrant. He's saying stuff. But then again, he pulled this crap in, was it 2005 with Lita? I think it was 2005 with Lita and Edge. And I'm going to TNA. And I'm like, okay, day 89. Oh, look, he's on Monday Night Raw.
So I think he got in trouble for that because he trashed a hotel lobby and made an embarrassment of himself.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just very weird. He claimed, I think all of us watched the video, and if I'm wrong, please correct me, that he claimed he's had some sort of intestinal issue that he's had corrected over the last few months, and that's why his weight and his look are different.
Well, it's been
Fat Hardy.
Yeah, Fat Hardy. It's been reported that his intestines exploded after his abdomen injury.
Right, and I'm not going to say that he's lying. I'm not going to say anything like that because, as Omega said, unless you watch the Hardy Show on their website, none of us are ever going to be around Matt Hardy in any version that he is to know if he's on any kind of pain medication for that. Is his work rate getting sloppy? Apparently he's had issues with CM Punk on the SmackDown tour. He's had issues with other people recently. Oh, it's kind of like going back to when Carlito went off about, I'm thinking of going to TNA, and then they gave him a belt. I've always said this point, and I'll shut up. If the dude's unhappy, there's the door. You know, it's almost, I'm going to use Eric Bischoff as an example. When he went off and Raven ended up leaving and all those other people ended up leaving, you don't like what's going on in this company, thanks for coming. Here's your home version of the WWE game, and get the heck out. Because if you're going to slow this truck down from doing what we're doing, we don't want you here.
Mm-hmm.
And
well, that brings me to...
I don't know. You know. Go ahead, please. Go ahead to the rest of the panel.
Well, that brings me to the question, are his days in WWE numbered? Has he basically been released and hasn't been made official yet? What do you
well,
think?
This past Friday, SmackDown, was that done in England or was that overseas? Or was that done here in the U.S.? Because, like I said, I honestly did not watch it. I was at an event, a wrestling event, so I did not tape it.
It was taped here and then they went over.
Okay, so it was taped here, went over. Once they probably get to Tuesday, and then we'll find out. If he's on SmackDown, if we see the spoilers and he's on a SmackDown thing this Tuesday, then yeah, it looks like he's. If I'm Vince and I'm Johnny Laryngitis, I'm like, no, enough of this crap. Thanks for coming. He's not really embedded in any storyline that I'm going to sit there and go, oh, boo-hoo, Matt Hardy's not here. You know, and you played Rock playing the version one music. I was like, cool, I love that music. Because that was when I was actually a fan of Matt Hardy. I liked that Matt Hardy version one gimmick. I thought that was cool. And since Jeff went back to TNA, he seems like he's been in a complete total fog. It doesn't have any kind of purpose or direction. Let him go and do whatever he wants. I don't know how everybody else feels about it, but I'm interested in their opinions.
Okay, Omega, is this the last we've seen of Matt Hardy in WWE?
Considering we know that Hogan and TNA wouldn't mind bringing him in, I wouldn't be surprised if they did everything they could, as long as he was under contract, to absolutely bury him to try to kill as much of the star power as they can. And under the same token, I wouldn't be surprised if they just, you know, told him to sit at home, we'll pay the rest of your contract, just, you know, and don't give him any screen time whatsoever.
Yeah.
So I knowing WWE depends on how vindictive they are.
Well,
which
we kind of sort of have an idea of how vindictive Vince can be.
Yeah, just a little bit.
Just a little bit on the outside.
Yeah. In the end, they're going to do whatever they think is going to harm Matt Hardy the most, as far as his future career goes.
Okay, now that being said, Spud, do you think that reuniting the Hardy Boys and TNA would make any kind of a, pardon the pun, impact?
Nope. Nope, because they're past their prime, to be quite honest with you. Yes.
Huh.
Yes. Look, I don't care how many fat girls you wrestle away from the Golden Corral buffet to plop in front of a television in their trailer park home to watch TNA and the Hardys.
Whoa. Okay. So, no impact reuniting the Hardy Boys. Alan?
I can see it coming. Why not? It all goes back to how what's if Rock can check real fast for me, because I haven't looked lately. When is the crackhead kid's next court appearance? I mean, they've been pushing that court appearance back so far. Sure, why not? It worked for the New Age Outlaw. Oh, I can't call them that because they weren't allowed to be called that in TNA. It worked for the James Gang. For the little while, you teased and teased and teased them getting back together.
Mm-hmm.
No, why not? Unfortunately, I don't have the legal stuff in front of me. Is his deal ending like Jericho's is at any point soon? I mean, he's gonna have to get sacked by these guys and then sit for 90 days, so that puts him way past Bound for Glory. If he got fired today, I think 90 days would put him somewhere around against February is the Against All Odds pay-per-view. So, I mean, I don't know. Like I said, it all depends how Laurinaitis, McMahon, whoever else is in the inner circle wants to handle it.
Okay. So, Omega, what do you think?
What are we on? I thought I just gave my thoughts.
Well, on most of it. I'm throwing it to you to wrap it up.
Wow. No, honestly, I've had someone else in my ear. I did not hear it.
Oh, okay. Spug, you want to wrap it up then?
Let's wrap it up by saying good riddance to Matt Hardy, who is now irrelevant in WWE and probably will be irrelevant in wrestling until he retires.
There you go. Unless, of course, you're a big fan of TNA, then you're probably going to be really happy to see him if and when he does show up in Florida.
Or a big fan of Golden Corral buffets.
Okay. Had to get that shot in there, didn't you?
Oh, yeah.
There you go.
What's your dig against the Golden Corral? Did I miss a joke somewhere?
Look at the average
Golden Corral experience.
Look at the average Hardy fan. What are they?
13-year-old fat chicks.
Fat chicks.
Or 16-year-old kids who want to drive Jeff everywhere when they're in Orlando. Because I got to see plenty of them when he first debuted in 04.
How fat were they?
No, they were kids. They were teenage, scrawny, teenage, heroin chic looking kids.
Oh,
they were goth. They were goth wannabe lookers who showed up with the dreads and the funny hair. We used to be the Hardy haters. That's how they actually called a lot of us, because there was a part where that front row that used to do the Bentley bounce and were quite a maniacs and whatnot, they hated Jeff Hardy coming in. Mm-hmm. After he debuted at Slammiversary 2004, which wasn't even called that back then, and then he came in to Orlando for the first month or two, they crapped on him, and he actually at one point flicked them off. And I'm sitting there going, you're on a TV taping for Fox Sportsnet, dude. You just flicked off the fans. That's awesome.
Well. All right. That being said, we've got a roundtable question that we've got to get to here. And now it's time for the WTR roundtable.
It's time for tonight's WTR roundtable.
Okay, the roundtable topic tonight, everybody. WWE hopes to have the WrestleMania main events planned out by November. What do you think the top three matches should be at this year's this next WrestleMania? Spug.
Undertaker versus whomever, and Undertaker retires.
Well, you can't say whomever. You got to put him up against somebody. Who should retire?
Who are you going to put him up against? They don't have anybody.
Who would you put him up against?
Put him up against?
Who would
someone
you retire to?
Someone who would I have him retire to? Somebody who's no longer in the company, who I think is the only one capable of retiring Undertaker, and that's Shawn Michaels.
I don't see Shawn Michaels coming back just because, you know.
That's what I'm saying. Him. So. Unfortunately, he's not coming back. It's like Bobby Petrino once said, Kevin McHale and Larry Bird aren't walking through that door anytime soon.
Rick Pitino, dude.
Whatever. It was an Eno at the end. Fuck you.
Well, I'm gonna steal Mace's thoughts here, and throw in the jar of mayonnaise.
No. You can't have Sheamus retire Undertaker.
Why not? Sheamus is Triple H's prodigy. Sheamus is being groomed by Triple H to take over Triple H.
He doesn't have the cred. John Cena would be more worthy of a person to put Undertaker out than Sheamus. Sheamus is not as credible.
Sheamus is probably the best one you could do it with.
No.
Yeah.
Listen to me. Listen to me. Sheamus does not have the locker room credibility that a John Cena has. Sheamus doesn't even have the locker room credibility that a Randy Orton or an Evan Bourne have. Okay? Sheamus, because he was handpicked by Triple H, is where he is. If it weren't for that fact, Sheamus would be toiling away on the bottom right now.
Yeah, but you're forgetting the fact that, and sure, call it my opinion, and maybe it's the right opinion, maybe it's a wrong opinion. You never know, right? Opinions are opinions. They're neither right nor wrong. You've got your fact, and then you got your opinion. My opinion is, sure, maybe he was handpicked by Triple H. However, he is proving he deserved to be handpicked. Omega.
Well, here's the point that comes across. Yeah, in the last few pay-per-views, and Mace pointed it out, that he's starting to pick up things like ring psychology. His wrestling abilities have noticeably picked up. You could see it tonight. I mean, I was not that big on Sheamus when he first came in. I mean, I'm getting there. I mean, I'm starting to root for the guy. I thought he was going to. I was picking him to win tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Here's why it has to be. If someone's going to do it. If anyone beats Taker at WrestleMania, that is going to be the single biggest push, the single biggest rub in this industry, period. In its entire history, you do not have a legacy like the winning streak at Mania. You don't have anything that can compare. And to have anyone win it, whoever breaks that streak is going to have so much on their shoulders. It has to be someone young that needs it. It has to be someone that can have a credible match with The Undertaker. It has to be someone who can take advantage of all of the heat and all of the buildup that that's going to create for them. Right now, Sheamus is a young star with some building credibility who definitely has some ring skills that's going to take him a long way. He's definitely going to be in the WWE for a long run, you know, unless he wants to start playing football or something. But you can't do it with like an Orton or a Cena, because they don't need it. They've gotten their respect and they've gotten their credibility the hard way. They worked it up, they've built it up. Whoever finally breaks the streak at Mania, bottom line, has to be someone that needs it and can handle the responsibility of it afterwards.
Okay, what do you think, Alan?
I want to see if they're going with this title unification, and if this is right and you're saying they're going to have this stuff locked by November, that means that all these guys are going to be wrestling in bubble wrap from November till they get to Atlanta, Georgia, to hope and pray we don't get an injury. And if they've got, like I said, if we're going with title for title, I think the ultimate title for title would be unification, Taker versus Cena, winner take all, and Marky Mark finally ends the streak, short of Vince McMahon ending the streak.
Mm-hmm.
I would like, if they're doing unifications, which I don't think they should unify the U.S. and Intercontinental belts, but if we're going with this and the guess Booker type mentality, I think my dream match would be John Morrison as the Intercontinental champ against Daniel Bryan as U.S. champ. I think they would have awesome chemistry together. You gotta turn Morrison back to heel, cause unless he's done it in ROH and other promotions, I've never seen Daniel Bryan, Dian Danielson go heel. You already unified your tag belts and you already unified your women's belts. So, third match for this event. I would love to see Triple H, Sheamus, as a tag team against Wade Barrett and can't think of anything else. If I had to do a fourth one, I'd like the idea of seeing Senshi, Loki, Caval, whatever his name is, mixed in a match in a scramble match, in like a Money in the Bank thing, with him, Punk, Evan Bourne, Drew McIntyre, and a couple other newer kids. Bring somebody up, else up, Percy Watson maybe, elevate some people and get some fresh people into Mania. But I may be wrong, and I'm not even a fan of Cena, but on paper, that would be it. Short of Triple H himself coming out of the office in Stamford and saying, you know, I didn't beat you WrestleMania in Houston, but I'm going to end you here in Atlanta. That I'm not the guest booker guy. That's Sean Oliver, but I gave it a shot.
Okay. Listen, the ending of Undertaker's streak should not be used as something to build a career. That is not something that you build somebody's career on. That is a reward for somebody. That is a reward for somebody who has done right by the business and done things the right way their career, or at least attempted to. You don't take somebody like Sheamus or Wade Barrett or whomever and hand them a gift like that and say, here you go, have fun. You give it to somebody like Triple H or John Cena or Randy Orton, somebody who has been through the wars and deserves it.
Sure. Why not?
And as far as unification, if you're going to unify the U.S. and Intercontinental belts and you want to do it at Mania, Fatal 4-Way, John Morrison, Bryan Danielson, CM Punk, and Low-Ki. Because that would be match of the night right there.
Interesting. Well, even though he's not here, Mace did give his thoughts on going back to, talking about Taker. And I'm quoting from Mace, I don't think Taker will have the belt at Mania because it'll be Cena versus a SmackDown champion. And I don't think WWE would be so stupid as to let Cena beat Taker at Mania. Nor do they have enough faith in Taker to hold the title for that long. That comes from Mace. Now, on that topic, if you ask me, the perfect person to retire Taker is Triple H. They're talking about he's coming back eventually. This will be his last couple of years. He's already got his office space built for him in Titan Towers in Connecticut. He's coming back. He's gonna end his career as a heel. He's coming back. He's gonna have the baby face pop. Then he turns heel. And it'll be a revenge thing. He's getting back at Taker for retiring his friend Shawn Michaels.
Interesting.
They tried that, though. Here's the thing, though. They tried that with Batista and Michaels, and it really didn't work. I mean, you remember when Michaels retired Flair, they tried that whole "I'm gonna beat you because you retired my friend" thing, and it didn't work a whole hell of a lot.
They had good matches, but the storyline didn't really go over. I think that was the Vengeance pay per view that they did. I think in Washington right after that.
Yeah, and being Triple H and Undertaker, and those two guys as savvy ring veterans as they are, and knowing the business like they, I don't even think they can put the storyline over, because it's just, if they were to have done it right after Mania, I could understand it, but the fact that we're almost a year removed from that, people are over it.
So I don't know, but that was just my opinion anyway. So there it is, our roundtable discussion for tonight. We've got the Great Debate and Quick Hits to basically hit. And we're going to do that on the other side of our last time out of the evening. Everybody, you're listening to WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. We'll be back right after this.
Rules in your religion, all designed to keep you safe. But when rules start getting broken, you start questioning your faith. I have a voice that is my savior, hates to love and loves to hate. I have a voice that has the knowledge and the power to move your fate. I hear voices crying, I see heroes dying. Yeah.
So every day I get all these emails here at CindySin.com. Let me read you the latest one I got. Dear Cindy, Cindy, I just wanted to say you are such an awesome person. And wait, Rock, didn't I tell you to stop emailing me? Oh, this isn't from Rock. This is from someone named Steve. Anyway, if you have any questions about dating, relationships, or sex, email me today by going to my website, CindySin.com.
Hey you! Yeah you! The one tuned in to WildTalkRadio.com. I just wanted to take a moment to say thank you for tuning into this fine program right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
The definitive professional wrestling-based website on the internet today brings you everything from everywhere. The WWE, TNA, Ring of Honor, the Indie Scene, all this and more can be found on one site. If you're obsessed with everything wrestling, head on over to www.onlineworldofwrestling.com. News, views, and information from the world of professional wrestling is right at your fingertips, only a mouse click away, with every single page chock full of information and news on your favorite wrestling stars, such as
Chris Jericho,
Derek Bischoff,
Sid Vicious,
Mick Foley.
Plus, the most definitive source for all the best audio and video the internet has to offer. As well, news articles and blogs from some of the best-known internet wrestlers today, and the most in-depth and detailed profiles and galleries of the biggest and brightest stars of today.
Rob Van Dam.
Mr. Kennedy!
Christian Cage.
Dairy.
Christy Hemme.
Jay Lethal.
Yesterday.
Brett the Hitman Hart.
The Sergeant Slaughter.
Ted DiBiase, the Million Dollar Man.
Paul Hogan, the greatest of all time.
Jimmy Van the Boogie Wiggleman.
And tomorrow.
TJ Wilson. Natty Neidhart.
Harry Smith. Jack Evans.
Get into the world of wrestling online. It's the site the pros use. Online World of Wrestling. www.onlineworldofwrestling.com. Check it out today.
Hey, this is Charlie Haas, one half of the world's greatest tag team, and you're listening to me on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Niggas survived the worst, but my life is glorious. Better know that I leave that be hurdle, and I'm so victorious. Take a look, I'm a symbol of greatness. Now call
it. And welcome back, WTR, Sunday Night Wrestling Talk Radio, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. We've had a pretty full show. I had a couple of really interesting debates, at least one call-in, with a bit of a dissension as far as Spug's thoughts and opinions. Which was kind of fun. But now, it's time for the great debate. Hey, it's the greatest gimmick matches of all time. Don't expect an intro. We don't have one for it. Tonight, hardcore.
You just did it, dude.
Yeah, okay. Hardcore, I'm talking about like intro music and shit. But anyway, tonight's great debate sees hardcore matches versus death matches and strap matches versus no holds barred matches. Let's start with the strap matches versus no holds barred, and we'll go to Alan.
Strap matches I've always liked. It all depends who's working it. I think that was a, if I remember my history right, and I'm probably wrong on it. Isn't that a Dusty Rhodes, James Russell from Florida, world class creation? And I remember the Freebirds, Von Erichs doing a strap match. I was in person for a couple where America's Most Wanted was involved in strap matches with stuff in TNA. As we watched tonight, a classic example of a no-holds-barred match with Taker and Kane. I'm going to go old school here, and I'm going to go with the strap.
All right. Strap matches 1-0. Spug. Do you think he's muted again?
No, I wasn't muted.
There you go.
You got to remember, there are categories within the category of the stripe match. That includes like chain matches, dog collars, you know, so on and so forth. Not just your traditional strap match.
S&M matches, basically.
Yeah, sure. Would you include the Texas bull rope match in a strap match?
Yes, you would.
Okay.
Well, there have been many good strap matches. I mean, you go to the dog collar match between Greg the Hammer Valentine and JYD. And we've seen a lot of good no-holds-barred matches. Unfortunately for me, the strap match, it's unique because you don't see it a whole hell of a lot, you know? It seems, in recent memory, there have been quite a few no-holds-barred matches. You know, it seems like we've had one a pay-per-view. So, for me, because of the uniqueness and the variety that you can have in a strap match, my vote goes for strap matches.
There you go. 2-0 strap matches, Omega.
Yeah, I've got to vote the same way. I like the psychology in a strap match. I honestly thought that Kofi versus Dolph tonight should have been a strap match, since the whole idea is you can't get away from your opponent. You are stuck wrestling him until one of you can't get up. Now, granted, there's some variations that I can take or leave, and like four corner matches. I never really liked the four corner strap match, but it does bring a uniqueness and a psychology that it's very hard to duplicate in any other type.
Yeah. All right. So strap matches pretty much has. Want to move on. Mace votes for the strap match too, and I'm going to make it unanimous. Just for what you pointed out, Spug, the subcategories. No hold bar matches are not what they sound like they are. I mean, you know, okay, no holds barred, you know, you false count anywhere, all the take the fight outside, you're not going to get counted out, whatever. It's, you know, it's not as good as a hardcore. When you hear no holds barred, you almost expect it's going to be a hardcore match. And inevitably, it just, It generally falls flat. So, strap matches by unanimous decision moves on.
You know what? This will say something for how bad no holds barred matches can be. The best one I ever saw was Zeus versus Hulk Hogan.
Oh no!
That's bad.
I mean, think about that. Remember that?
I'm trying not to. Thanks. Thanks very much for bringing it up. I'd rather not remember it. Anyway, let's get to the next matchup. We got the hardcore versus death matches. And Spug, because the word death is in here, we have to start with you.
Blood for the blood god.
Told you.
Like, you know, I've seen some decent death matches, and you've had light tubes, and you got FNW over in Japan, which has some crazy shit over there. And I mean, hardcore, unfortunately for hardcore, it kind of got played out. You had ECW, and yep. they brought it into style. And then, you know, next thing you know, everybody and their brother has a hardcore champion. Even indie promotions that have no business having hardcore champions have a hardcore champion.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just kind of passe now. It's something that you do to get a pop out of the crowd. But if you really want to shock people and you really want to get under people's skin, then you do what CZW or IWA Mid-South does, and you hold deathmatch tournaments, and you get the light tubes involved and the thumbtacks and the C4 and the razor wire boards and, you know, people like Necro Butcher. Death matches, man.
There you go. Death matches. Alan!
Well, I had to go to The Rock to ask on this. It's like, okay, what are we talking about here? I've seen in person some real, I asked him, I said, were you considering deathmatch and hardcore? The barbed wire stuff, if it's done right, I dug the Terry Funk Sabu one, where Sabu got his arm cut open for the psychology of it. And I also dug, Turning Point 2006, which was Sabu Abyss, also for the psychology. If it's done right, they're cool. The exploding ring thing, I've never understood that one. Monster's Ball also falls into hardcore according to Rock, so that helped me out too, and that Raven's House of Fun and a lot of the hardcore stuff that WWE did in the late 90s, so just a tough one, so the heck, we'll go with the hardcore.
Okay, so there you go, one of each. Oh, Omega.
I haven't really seen too many death matches. Honestly, it's not my type of wrestling. Not in the least. I kind of had to look this up a little bit and figure out, okay, what's the difference between a hardcore match and a death match? Because basically a death match is a hardcore match taken to a completely different level. But there are the differences. I mean, I like the kind of inventiveness that comes in a hardcore match. Mm-hmm. Like you see, a Sabu RVD match in ECW, the original ECW, I should point out.
Yeah.
Or, you know, RVD and Jerry Lynn too had some really, really cool stuff going on. And that's kind of what I picture when I picture like a good hardcore match. You know, it's just, okay, it's two guys, okay, you've got a limited number of weapons to use, but you can do anything you want with them, and usually comes up with some really cool stuff. Whereas most of the time when I see a death match, it's more or less about trying to pick spots that will cause as much blood as possible. And it's
bloodbath.
Yeah, and it basically boils down to, okay, who bleeds the most? And, I don't know. Maybe I don't get death matches, but I don't see the psychology in it. I don't see where it's basically a wrestling match. You know, it's two guys behind a bar that just happens to have a bunch of light tubes lying around. I don't see any wrestling or psychology in it. All I see is two guys just bashing each other's heads in with whatever violent blood causing object they can find. I will vote for the hardcore match.
There you go. Hardcore death. All right. Rock, you want to step in on this one?
Yes. Explosions, barbed wire, blood, violence, pain, torture, excitement. The death match goes over.
The death match goes over, and that is courtesy of Mace, is it?
No, that's my actual opinion.
Oh, that's your actual opinion. What was Mace's?
Both.
Both?
Yeah. He said they're both the same thing, so he said both.
Wow. Well, fuck it. Then his vote doesn't count on this one.
But it's isn't it tied, though?
It's tied right now, so I get to break it. And I just got to say, you know, the death matches.
Why?
Because I
can.
I tell you what, Omega, I know, yeah, death matches are bloodbaths. They really are. But there is inventiveness that comes out of the death match. Yeah. I think it was
I'm sure there's inventiveness, but I've never seen a CZW match that I liked. Let's put it that way.
CZW Cage of Death 4, okay? Yes, Cage of Death 4.
Yeah, I'm just saying, I've never seen a death match that I've liked. I've never seen anything that was more than just let's see who can bleed the most. And Necro Butcher, I have zero respect for.
I'm not. Let me finish.
Holy shit.
Cage of Death 4. It was Blackout versus, I forget who. It was pretty much an 8-man tag. In a war game style cage. Two cages, two rings, and it was absolutely brutal. But towards the end of the match, Sexy Eddie climbs up on top of the cage with a trash can. And I'm kind of watching it going, what the hell is he going to do? Puts the trash can over his head and does a backwards moonsault off the top of the cage onto three members of Blackout laying on the ring below covered in thumbtacks. Now, if that's not inventiveness, I don't know what is.
You know, right? You know what? Yes, that's incredibly inventive, and it's nothing that needed to be in a death match to happen. You, go, you can do that. You can do that in a cage match. You can do that in a hardcore match. It doesn't mean a death match is inventive.
You just mad because you didn't think of it first.
Well, I had a couple of wrestlers
that I know. I don't really give a shit. I just don't see that as inventive. When you know, I don't see that as supporting a death match when it can be done in other matches. What can be done in a death match other than make someone bleed a lot that can't be done in a hardcore match? Mace is almost right in that instinct. They are pretty much the same damn thing.
Okay, let me ask you something here. Spug, in your opinion, Abdullah the Butcher, hardcore specialist or deathmatch specialist?
Both.
What's he more, what does he specialize in more?
I would say,
ribs.
Forks, yeah.
And really nice Chinese food from what I'm told.
I would say he was, I would say he's more of a deathmatch specialist, because back in the day, back in the day, he was the, I mean, what he does now, we would consider passe and hardcore. Back then, that those were death matches. So
that, and those were death matches. Now, when I look at it with professional wrestling, you've got professional wrestling, then you've got extreme professional wrestling, then you've got hardcore, then you've got death matches. The way that I rate it, from every single match I've ever seen on TV, at the arena, you know, on pay per view, sitting at the indie shows. Calling them, doing play by play. It's my opinion that death matches are hardcore to the extreme, is pretty much the way you can classify it. And you don't see them, yeah, sure, hardcore matches you see, and they're watered down now and just old and tired. But, when you take it to that extra level, you can go and call that the death match. And as long as it's not overdone, which it isn't, and you will not ever see it in WWE, on their shows ever again, not even a proper hardcore match. TNA, they'll get pretty freaking close sometimes. But yeah, CZW, Ring of Honor, and a lot of the indie, scene will still present a pretty damn good death match once in a while, as long as they don't do more than three a year, and my vote goes to death matches, which squeaks past the hardcore by that much.
Well, I met a kid. It worked for a company that was based out of Evansville, Indiana, called Coliseum Championship Wrestling. It was based out of the Evansville Coliseum. And this was where I first met people like Madman Pondo, Necro Butcher, JC Bailey, who recently passed away. Some of these guys that were just really crazy. And his stage name was Jason Kane. He also works as Jason Briley. And he said a great quote that I'll always remember. Those who can wrestle, do. Those who can't, do hardcore. Now, I'm not saying that against anybody that ever does hardcore wrestling, but it was just something that's always stuck with me and figured to throw it out there.
I've seen a lot of indie promoters use hardcore and death matches as a way to find their new stars. Because think about it. When you come into WWE, what division are you thrown into? You're thrown into the tag division. If you can get yourself over there, you might be able to get yourself over as a singles wrestler. And doing hardcore is a limited way to show off some of your wrestling skill and make your and get yourself over with the crowd. And if you get yourself over there, most indie promoters will move you over to the tag division and build you up from there.
Excellent point, counterpoint, gentlemen. That being said, time to move on to our last segment of the evening here on WTR Sunday Night. We're talking about quick hits.
Let's do it.
Time now for some Wrestle Talk Radio quick hits.
Wow. That's right. It's that part of the show where our panel has 60 seconds to answer sometimes outrageous and ridiculous questions posed to them.
Wow, fine.
Step up to the plate and get ready for some Wrestle Talk Radio Quick Hit.
Alrighty then, there it is. You heard it in the intro, exactly what it is, and why the hell do we do this? Well, because sometimes it gets fun. Starting off, we'll make it your first question of the night. What wrestler who has not written a book should write a book about their career?
Ouch. You know what? I want to see the Scott Hall book, because I want to see how much of it he remembers.
Be kind of illegible, don't you think?
Hey yo.
Hey yo.
That'll be the title. Hey yo.
No, that'd be every chapter name.
Yeah.
Hey, one. Yo. Hey yo. Chapter two. Hey yo.
Yeah. Well, like Chicago, they're up to like Chicago 22 in their record catalog.
Hey yo.
Yeah, I can just see the last line in it. Another one for the good guys.
Yeah, on his deathbed, his final words were, yo, hey.
Oh, Scott, that's bad. Okay, moving on. Spug,
yes.
When should WWE reveal who the Raw General Manager is? Who do you think it should be?
Who do you think the General Manager should be?
And when do you think they should finally reveal him?
The reveal, I think, should happen at the Royal Rumble.
Okay, the reveal at the Rumble, and who is it?
You know what? Triple H.
Ah, okay. There you go. Triple H at the Rumble. Alan, what is the best-looking championship belt of all time?
The 10 pounds of gold, the NWA World Heavyweight Championship, man. I like the Crockett Championship, but the original 10 pounds of gold is pretty cool.
Original 10 pounds of gold. All right. Cool. Hey, Rock, do you want to play the part of Will tonight?
No.
No? Chicken?
Yeah, come on, Colonel Sanders. Answer some questions once. He comes up with this stuff, so it's not fair.
Hang on a second. You know what? You made me do this one night, so I think that it's only fair you do it once.
There you go. Turn the tables on him.
So... Here's your first question, Rock. What is your dream fantasy diva matchup?
China versus Awesome Kong.
Okay.
Book it.
Book it. All right, there you go. Back to you, Omega. If you wrote a book, nonfiction now, okay, what would it be about, and how many pages do you think it might be?
Jeez.
Shiloshi.
Well, that depends on the book. You know, it's, how to turn a useless hobby into YouTube fame. It'd be a good 400 pages.
Okay.
Or the sex life of a toy geek, and it'd be a pamphlet.
Yeah, at least they're starting to be honest now. Okay. There you go. So, that would be your two choices, a pamphlet or a 400-page tome?
Yeah.
Okay.
Somewhere in the middle.
There you go. Spud, this one's just for you. What is the better artificial life form? The Terminator series or the Cylons?
The Terminator, dude.
Yeah?
Terminator.
Terminated.
You know why?
Why?
Because everybody wants a fucking 6.5-foot tall robot that can shoot every gun known to man as their best friend when they're growing up.
Okay, yeah. I'll give you that point. Alan, your turn.
Oh, goody.
Which of the original Charlie's Angels is the hottest and why?
Whoa. That just refreshed me. That's Kate Jackson, Jacqueline Smith, and Farrah Fawcett, not Cheryl Teagues, right?
Well, you could throw...
Yeah, we could throw Bosley in there. Why not? He was an angel considerably.
Don't forget, there were actually five angels on the original.
Yeah, I would rather you have made this the movie. It would have been really easy to spit out Drew Barrymore.
Well, fuck that. That's why I didn't make it the movie.
I'll go with Jacqueline Smith. She just, there's something about her that I liked back in the day.
There you go. I had the biggest fucking crush on Jacqueline Smith when I was a kid. Cool, you picked her. Okay. Rock, if you were in a position to perform a heroic life-saving deed, what would you want that deed to be?
Save someone from listening to boring radio programming? No, I can't do that. No one listens to boring radio programming. A heroic life-saving deed. Push someone out of the way from a moving bus.
Push someone out of the way of a moving bus.
Yes.
Very interesting.
See, okay. I would do the opposite of Rock. I would try to push
him into the path of a moving bus.
I would try to push Bret Hart into the path of the bus.
then we'd
be saved from boring Canadian wrestling for the rest
no,
of our
seriously,
lives.
Seriously, I mean it. Hang up on him. All right, well, there it is. There's Quick Hits for tonight, the Night of Champions post-paper show. Everybody, we're done. Wow, and we're only 21 minutes over time. Don't forget, if you haven't done it yet, sign up for the email newsletter, 100% free. We will not spam the fuck out of you. We'll just give you updates here and there. We're going to hold contests that are exclusive to subscribers, and you'll get special exclusive interviews and information on upcoming guests on all the different shows and all the different show topics and everything that's going on under the sun. That's right. All you got to do is insert your email address. You'll find it right beside the chat on our chat page. And if you're not on our chat page, then just go to www.wildtalkradio.com. Look on the upper left side of the site, and you'll find where it says subscribe to our newsletter. Just that easy. Don't forget, Tuesday night, OWW Radio with your host, Alan Wojcicki. Alan, who's your guest this Tuesday?
I'm not giving that away right now, man. I will say this. It will definitely be a double knockout evening.
Double knockout evening. Ooh, there's a hint, knockout. Think about it, people. That's all you got to say. All right, so, and that's at 9 o'clock Eastern. Wednesday night at what time? Omega, 9 Eastern, 8 Eastern?
9 Eastern, 8 Central.
9 Eastern, 8 Central, and, yeah, well, we'll discuss days and times for OTL in a minute, but what are you guys talking about this Wednesday?
I think we have an interview.
We might have an interview. Might.
Cool.
Maybe.
Sometime
in
the future.
We might have real live guests.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's awesome stuff. There you go. Thursday night, we expect to see Cindy Sin come back and do an episode of Anything Goes, don't we, Rock?
Yes, we do. Cindy Sin, Anything Goes, this Thursday night.
And that'll be awesome, possum. And, of course, Friday night, we're going to have some DJ music. So show up Friday. Saturday, of course, midnight, or as close as you can get to it. CB Radio with Sir Rock and whoever the hell he can drag up as a co-host.
Pretty much.
Yeah. And, of course, it's Sunday, so you're... barely 24 hours, not even, you're like 23 hours removed from the last show. You haven't even thought about next week yet.
No.
So pay attention to the newsletter. We might have information on that in the newsletter. And, of course, next Sunday night, it's more Wrestle Talk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network, going back to our regular time because there's no pay-per-view. That's
Woo-hoo.
Not for 2 weeks.
Woohoo!
Hell in a set.
Doesn't Johnny Cashmere have a show on Tuesdays, too?
Coming soon.
He's working on it.
I thought his was supposed to debut last week.
Mind and Body with Matt and Johnny coming to the Wild Talk Radio Network very soon. Very, very soon. You'll find out if you subscribe to the newsletter.
Very exciting stuff ahead, man.
There you go. That being said, everybody, we're out of here. Have yourselves a great week. Catch you next Sunday night right here on Wild Talk Radio Network.
Thank you. You've been listening to Wrestle Talk Radio, a Wild Talk Radio Network feature presentation produced by WTR Productions. For complete archives of this podcast, check out the official website of Wild Talk Radio Network located at wildtalkradio.com.